This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Scott, how are you? Everything's good for you?
Scott.
No golf today, huh? Your golf game has just been derailed by the Browns. What are they thinking?
I hear you. I was playing the best golf of my life, and then training camp started.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame when that lightning hits you in the middle of that best round,
yeah,
isn't
sure.
it? Scott. Hey, Nick Chubb signs a 3-year deal, $20 million guaranteed. You know, just looking at the story on your site, on Brown Zone, and just, you know, Andrew Berry saying he embodies the soul of our team. I normally I would be like, that sounds a little overboard, but it's not. I think he's right. I think this is just another guy that works hard, and they want to, you know, he works hard for them. We didn't hear a peep about his contract very much other than the guy with the jersey that said, pay Nick Chubb now, and fans wanting it to happen. But you didn't hear a whole lot from Chubb or Chubb's camp about, hey, we got to get this done. We got to get this done. What do you think of the deal?
Yeah, I think it's good for both sides. You know, I think if Nick and his agents really wanted to play hardball, they could have. You know, if it's 3 years, $36.6 million, you know, it's 12.2 a year. That's only sixth among NFL running backs. And in my mind, you know, Nick Chubb is a top, I don't know, 3-4 running back in the league. But I don't think he was chasing every last dollar. He said in June in minicamp that he wanted to stay in Cleveland. The fact is, it's a 3-year deal. I know some people say, hey, that's great for Nick, and I get it. I think it's good for Nick Chubb because then he's got another shot at a free agent deal when, you know, 29 years old. But I'd also say that it's good for the Browns because, you know, I think the Browns took on a little bit of risk because you sign a running back to a second contract. And that's not always the wisest thing to do. But if you're only tied into a 3-year extension, to me that makes sense for both sides. And I think there's less risk for the Browns at a risky position, right? There's a lot of wear and tear. There's a lot of injuries at running back. So I think the length of the extension made sense for both sides, but especially the Browns.
I agree completely, Scott. I think the Browns did a really smart thing because you locked up a primo talent, but you didn't put incredible dollars into it that are going to hurt you down the road. And if you're Nick Chubb and you play that position and you've been through what you've been through in your career, you know, the really bad knee injury in college and yeah, just a little dinged up in the NFL, you know how precarious things can be. And $20 million guaranteed, thank you. I'm set for life because of this deal, and we'll see what happens moving forward. It's one of those very rare deals, I think, Scott, that each side can walk away from feeling really, really good.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the timing's important, right? You don't want to get close to free agency with your best players because no matter what they say about wanting to sign, the closer you get to March, you know, it's easy to flirt with other teams. Your agent tells you, hey, we can go strike it rich. If they really wanted you, they would have kept you, all those things. So I think it was important. You know, we've talked all offseason about the guys eligible for extensions. I think it was important to get Chubb signed as early as possible to avoid getting close to that free agency. I think it sends a great message to the rest of the team that, hey, if you do the right things, the Browns will reward you. And, you know, I think that applies to Nick Chubb. You talked about, you know, the model teammate and all that, and I think that's all 100% true. And, you know, I think the Browns made a little bit of an exception. You know, we talk about analytics all the time and will they commit big money to a running back on a second contract? And I don't think their, like, core principles say yes. I think they said, no, we can find a guy. But I think Nick Chubb is so special, it made them make an exception. And I appreciate Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta having that flexibility.
But, I mean, do you feel like if maybe it didn't say Chubb on the back of the jersey and you had a guy with similar work ethic or maybe just the abilities he had, they might think twice about it, that because it was Nick Chubb that maybe they deviate from some of their own, I don't want to say analytical perspective on things, but that's the way I'm going to say it. So, I mean, do you think that that's why, because it says Chubb on the back of his jersey?
Well, I think it's because of everything that Nick Chubb is. You know, you saw Ezekiel Elliott get a big contract, and he showed up and he looked out of shape to me a year ago. I don't think you have to worry about that if you're the Browns with Nick Chubb. You know, the injuries is always a risk, but from is he going to grind it? Is he going to be the same type of worker and player? I don't think the Browns have to worry about that at all, and I think that makes it easier to go against your, you know, when you plan your salary cap, okay, we're going to designate X number of dollars at each position. And I don't think there's any way the Browns in, you know, abstract meetings say we're going to pay our top guy $12 million a year. I just don't think that's part of the philosophy. But I think Nick Chubb being the player and person he is made them bend their rules, and I think that's a good thing.
Andy asked me earlier, who's next? And I threw out the name Wyatt Teller because I thought that would be easier to do than Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield. Who do you think's next and why?
I think it's Baker. I understand the Wyatt Teller argument, and I'd also agree that, you know, he's obviously in the last year of his rookie contract. Baker is signed through 2022. But Teller, I don't think his track record is long enough to say, yes, you're going to pay him like a top guard in the league. If you got him at a great discount, that's fine. I want to see him be better in pass protection than he was, especially over the second half of last year. When he was hurt, you know, he blamed it on the ankle, and maybe that's the reason for it. But I just think you need to see another year out of Wyatt Teller. He's only been a full-time starter for 1 year. And plus, I think Baker's more important. I think if you sign him, you know your salary cap structure for the next 4, 5, 6 years. I think, again, that sends a good message. We lock up our key guys, you know, including our quarterback, and we believe he's the guy. So if the Browns and Baker Mayfield's agents can agree on, you know, a number, I think that would be the next deal that I went after.
Hey, let's talk about the front office for a second, because now you've got, you know, DePodesta, Barry, on the same page as far as extensions in their world to hang on with the Browns. And then you also brought in, was Bob Quinn from is that right, Bob? Yeah, from Detroit.
Yeah.
Just the whole – how does that whole – I mean, what does that make you think about the front office? You think about the inconsistency we had, and I don't – do we applaud Jimmy in the front office and D for having consistency in the front office for the first time in their ownership?
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you compare it to the first 7 years of their ownership, then, yeah, they deserve compliments over that. I think it's important that DePodesta and Barry and Stefanski are all on the same page. They're all signed for the next 4 years. I think that's a big deal. I think it does speak to the continuity and the alignment that the Haslams have been searching for forever. And it certainly seems like, you know, before they played any games, that this is the right group, right? This is the right trio of guys. I think the Bob Quinn acquisition following Ryan Grigson a year ago speaks to Andrew Berry not being afraid to have strong voices in his front office, being willing to take, not only willing, but looking for guys that can help him, looking for expert advice. And that's what he believes he has in two former GMs, because he admits that, hey, I'm only in my second year. There's things I haven't been through. And it helps to have other GMs who have been through these things. And whether it's contract extensions or, you know, contract extensions are the first one that comes to mind, but there's so many things that go in and out in a, you know, a day of a GM. Super Bowl expectations, right? The Colts had those kind of expectations when Andrew Luck was there and Ryan Grigson was there. How do you deal with that? So I think him being humble and willing to bring in other voices and other advice, I think we knew that about Andrew Berry, but it's just another example of, yes, and not every GM in the league would do that. I can guarantee you that.
Scott, I'll preface this by saying I don't necessarily think it's opportunity lost, because I don't, because the Browns went out and brought in Tack McKinley and Jadeveon Clowney. But I think it's interesting that two guys that we had all talked about maybe coming to the Browns as veterans on that defensive line, Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, have signed with teams in the division. Houston going to Baltimore and Ingram going to Pittsburgh. Opportunity lost, or are you okay at defensive end?
No, I wouldn't say opportunity lost, but it did raise my eyebrows. And Melvin Ingram's a guy that I had my eyes on from the start of free agency. I thought he was a guy that could come in and have an impact as that third down edge rusher. I really like him. Now, he's getting old. He and Houston are older than Clowney and McKinley.
Yeah. I
think that's factored into it. But it does make me think that, you know, the Ravens and the Steelers, they've been so good for so long, and they have stable front offices. They always seem to find these type of players. Not only find them, but to acquire them, right? Late in the free agency, you know, late in free agency, early in training camp, right before the season, they bring in a guy that everybody's heard of that has a chance to make a big impact. So, you know, I think the Browns, obviously, they would take Clowney and McKinley because they had their options. But I think the Steelers and Ravens did a good job kind of getting from that second pool of guys. I don't know how much each has left in the tank, but I think they could help both Browns rivals.
Hey, Scott, what was the buzz like in Berea? I wasn't there. And Jeff, yeah, I don't think Jeff went out either. But what was the buzz like at camp when the fans were there? And can you compare it to other years?
Yeah, you know, it was nice to see them. Obviously, everybody's looking forward to it. It wasn't as loud and as boisterous as it has been in the past. Part of that's because the crowd is smaller, just because of the COVID protocols. And I think it's around 2,000 as opposed to 3,500. Part of it is because the fans are limited to one area of the field, so they're not ringing the field like they used to, and there are fans everywhere, and they could see everything that was going on. And the Browns haven't been in pads yet. So there hasn't been a whole lot of action. There's been a lot of installation, a lot of, you know, guys, or a lot of plays at three-quarter speed. So I think when the Browns put on the pads tomorrow, you really see the energy and intensity from the team and the crowd ratchet up.
Preseason coming up, and it's not too far away with the first game, less than 2 weeks away. We were kicking this around earlier, Scott. I don't know if there's going to be a less interesting preseason for the Browns, and that couldn't be a better thing. I don't even know. Are you looking at any position? I threw out maybe defensive tackle, maybe outside linebacker, where there is even any real position battle that we might see either from camp or what we can base it on in preseason games.
No, I hear you. I mean, I think linebacker's still up in the air. We know Anthony Walker's going to be the middle linebacker, right? That's almost 100%. But who's going to play at the other two spots? Greedy Williams versus Greg Newsome, the second, I think, is a battle for that second starting spot. Who plays, you know, the third and fourth D-tackle? You know, that's worth watching. The number three receiver. And as the rookies, I want to see, you know, Jeremiah Wusu-Koromoa whenever he comes back, and I assume he'll play in the preseason. Greg Newsome, Anthony Schwartz. Like, those are things to watch, but I'm with you. It doesn't have nearly the interest of in the past, and most of it will be watching to hope guys get through without being injured. And with that being said, you know, who knows how much Kevin Stefanski is going to play his starters. You know, with 17 games to get through with the practices against the Giants, I'm not sure he plays his starters much. I assume he'll play him some, but I don't think it'll be much at all.
Scott, as always, we appreciate your insight and everything that's going on. We'll be listening to you today during the press conferences, and, of course, we will read you every day at brownzone.com. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks a lot, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.